Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees
are
falling.
Welcome to the sound of the holiday weekend, Bubba Show. What's going on? And the markets no top. They continue to go up. But of course, if you were listening earlier in the week and you listened to my Monday night call, which I'm actually going to play parts for you, you heard me say that the markets are probably going to rally. Now, I didn't see it this rally, but hey, that's life. We're just back in that range and zipping around. But in the meantime, before we get started, let's again salute the people that give us the freedom to celebrate this Independence Day. I stand up and I salute you, and everybody else have a happy and healthy July 4th. Enjoy, just don't over-imbibe, and don't drink and drive. Anyways, so as I like to do occasionally, and I think this is a perfect time as we come into the holiday and get ready to prep up and start again, we want to always educate ourselves and become better at. So what we're going to do is we're going to share some of the Monday night call. So let's go to Monday night right now. This is the Bubba Show. And again, I salute all of the military and everybody who helps me, that allows me to do what I do. So I thank you. I love you. And let's check out Monday night. Here we go.
Hey, it is game time, and great to be here as always. And of course, a little bit more action than usual. And, you know, I think here you're now seeing, you know, maybe some breakdown action here, but we're not going to call a final score yet, and I'll give you all my thoughts and more as we get into it. But first is, we always do our words of wisdom from our friend Connie, and that is, excellence is not a singular act but a habit. You are what you repeatedly do. Now, I want you to think about that. Because as you think about that, remember, that's what the charts do too, right? The charts always do the same thing, and we either do good things or bad things together as well, okay? Right? If you get in bad habits, you could repeat the bad habits. So learn better habits. That's why we always want to check what we're doing, and we do the postmortem on our trades and all that stuff just to create good habits. And, you know, at the end of the day, okay, a lot of things have gone on. You know, we had the Brexit. We had, you know, the gamblers and all this thing. And my bitch, I'm really angry about this whole thing because I was on top of this from the beginning. And you know, I have a problem, although I'm part of the media, I believe that I go above and beyond trying to report accurately what I see. And not try to, obviously, I'm never creating a book of business because I don't have a book of business. I trade for myself. Okay. So I'm not trying to get somebody to buy or feel a certain way about the market. I don't really care. But when they started with the gambling, I don't know if you guys watched the market last week, but when they started with the gamblers and that it was a done deal and the gamblers are smart and they pushed the market up on Thursday right before the announcement. And I was on, I mean, they started talking about it the day before and I said, look, it doesn't mean anything, especially if the gambler knows what he's doing. You could arb the market. In other words, you could arbitrage the market. Okay, all you have to do is you bet as much as you want on them staying, and then you buy puts in any one of the indexes or the British pound, and it's virtually an impossibility to lose. You might not make a lot, but it's a virtual impossibility to lose. Okay, so if somebody was smart enough and knew that the media was going to pick it up and go crazy with it, it was a great arbitrage. And that really pisses me off because it's the same thing that they did to Bernie Sanders in California. Not that I want Bernie Sanders to be president, but and they announced that Hillary Clinton was going to get the nomination the morning of the California election, so nobody went out and voted. Well, here you told everybody what the guy was doing, so everybody just kept buying like they were giving away stuff for free. And of course, I think they trapped some innocent people who got themselves wrapped into it. And I don't like what I consider irresponsible reporting. So to me, that's my bitch, and I'm not gonna go on it anymore. My blog will be about it tomorrow about how the arbitrage actually worked. But in the meantime, it was a true ARB, and it's a shame that we have to get everybody so excited and we have to be cheerleaders instead of just tell it like it is. Anyways, okay, so here we are, and, you know, the markets have been, you know, relatively nowhere. I mean, we can't imagine that we've gone much of any place, have we? I mean, if you look at the, here, look at a year chart, okay? Let's look at a year, okay? We've gone nowhere. Okay, we were right here last year at this time, and now we're breaking down again. Now, I'm not saying we're breaking down. I'm not saying this is the top, although I do believe it is. I've said that, you know, repeatedly, that I do think that we're, you know, the risk now is by being long or owning the market. You know, I think that you have a lot of things to think about. Now, again, we don't really trade the news. We trade the chart. So right now, the first question I'd say to everybody, I'd ask anybody, is would you be a seller today? Now, in the interest of time, I'll answer for everybody. The answer is no, we're not selling it here. I mean, you only sell it here if you're puking, okay? I mean, you can't sell it here. I mean, just like I wouldn't buy it if it was going up, I'm not selling it if it's going down, because what do we know? We know there's going to be a rally at some point, okay? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if it's tomorrow, okay? And I would like to see if I could script it, I'd like to see him tank them overnight, okay, and just have the blood rolling in the morning, and then we'd see a rally, okay. But we'll see how that plays out. Right now they're a little bit higher, but again, I don't put a lot of credence into, you know, right now. I mean, I think the markets are finally slowing down a little bit after, you know, some pretty good days, pretty hard trading days. But the markets today were down, you know, 260. So the Dow's down to 17,140. Okay, so I have really, you know, on the charts we kind of watch, there's really no visible means of support. But, of course, we go out a little bit farther. And, of course, we would look at about 17,000 would be a spot you would look at for some potential support. Now, again, I would tell you that it's probably a reasonable buy. Now, this is not for... I'm not buying the dip here, okay? I'm not buying the dip to say, hey, we're going to rally from here. I'm buying this purely as a speculative trade because I believe that we've been overdone a little bit too fast to the downside. Look at the volume. You very rarely see a volume day like this, okay? This was Friday. And then a follow-up right after it, which is these 2 days are basically the biggest, other than the triple witching expiration, these are the biggest two volume days in the last God knows how long. So if we could see a little bit more gut-wrenching selling in the morning, okay, I'd probably be inclined to buy it myself. Again, I'm buying it for a trade. This is not. I do not believe this is the time to buy as a dip buyer. I'm buying only for a short-term trade, which could be anywhere from 5 minutes to, you know, a couple of days, okay, because I'm certainly looking for a spot to sell. And my first target to sell now, with the way the action happened, okay, I'd be looking at 17.5. So really like 17,000. 17.5. Now, before today, I was not so convinced that we had broke to the downside. And again, it still may pop back up, but certainly I wanted to wait until I saw how we reacted today. And sure enough, here we are. Okay. So now 17.5 on the upside. Now, I wouldn't be real aggressive at 17.5, but I would be looking to start selling. Again, that's the first spot we're going to look at.
And, you know, we talk about levels and we talk about footprints. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for where we can kind of see an edge. So we picked the bottom. And unfortunately, the markets went up too fast and they were open. They opened up on Tuesday. So there really wasn't an opportunity to get in. So now we were looking for a spot to sell. And that first level, which we thought was a little bit risky, but we were willing to take a shot, was, you know, the 17.5 area, which we've obviously blown through that. But again, this is, a game of calculation and measurement to put yourself in the best position. So we're going to step out of here for a break, but make sure when you miss an episode, how could you miss, Bubba? When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, you can download the show. You can also get the Sporting Edge there. In the meantime, again, my hat's off to all of you, but especially the military who gave me the freedom to do this. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break.
It's the time of the season when love runs high in this time.
it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Time of Harwich on this July 4th, Independence Day holiday weekend. And again, my salute to all of you, but especially my military, who gives me the freedom to do what I do. And again, we've been talking a little bit markets and doing a little Monday. And of course, we see the markets continue to push forward. You know, is it window dressing? Is it live or is it Memorex? Or are we just back in that old same old range? And probably the latter, same old range. In the meantime, let's go back to Monday and see what's going on. Here we go.
Okay. The S&P, Sierra Papa X-ray. This, too, has broken down, if it'll ever show up on my screen. There we go. This, too, has broken down. Okay. Now, notice, you know, and if you don't hear me talk, you could heard them saying on TV, well, 1991 held three times. It held. Okay. So what? Okay. Anyways, so we look back here. Now, obviously, we need to go back in a little bit of time to find, you know, the support here. And sure enough, I would say, you know, probably right around 2000 and then maybe 1990. But now, just remember this, okay? We're not using a scalpel here, okay? And at the end of the day, when it closes at 2000, which would have been our level, you know, 1991 and 2000, same thing to me. Again, I can't get that fine. You're talking about a 2,000-point index. You can't worry about 9 points, okay? That's one tick, basically, if they're moving. So 2000 is a spot. Now, again, I wouldn't have a problem if you wanted to try to dip your toe in here for a trade. I got no problem with it, okay? I think it's probably fairly reasonable. I think from a probability standpoint, you probably have a high probability of success if you buy. Okay, and again, only for a trade, though. Again, this is not to load up. This is just like, hey, I want to do a ratio spread, or I'm going to take a stab in the futures market. Whatever it is, wherever it is, you're going to get long. And I would only use an index for this trade. Notice I never use them, but now I want to use it for this because if I'm right, I need to get paid. I don't want to pick the wrong stock. Okay, I want to make sure that if I'm right on what I'm seeing, which would be a dead cat, you know, a little bit of a short covering rally, I want to make sure that I get paid. All right. NASDAQ. Charlie, Oscar, Michael, Peter. Okay, now this has got really drilled, and here you go. Remember, we were talking last week how it was held up nicely, and all of a sudden, adios. Okay. Now, again, here we are coming down to a level. Now, obviously, it's still a line there, so I know there's some level down here. And this is probably, again, now, one of the things I want you to understand, too, the NASDAQ itself shows a lot more gaps in the action. The reason that is because the NASDAQ is the only index that opens everything at one time electronically. That doesn't happen in the Dow and in the S&P. They don't open everything at one time. The NASDAQ opens everything at one time. That's why you see a gap on the chart. Okay. So, again, here we are. You know, well, what are we down? 20, almost 10%, okay, in a couple of days. I mean, that's a sign that there's probably going to be a rally. Okay. And then I'm not telling you to jump in here, but I'm certainly going to look for a spot. I would say probably, well, let me look. I don't have to say probably. Let me get a better. Let me get a better view of where I had that mark before. Yeah. Okay. So probably about 4580 in that area. I mean, even 4600, right in this pocket here, somewhere would be a reasonable spot to step up and go take a look at it. Okay. And then, of course, the Russell, which is really the strongest. All right. Romeo Uniform Tango just got clobbered the last 2 days, but really today was unusual. But here we are. So here we are. We're on support. Okay. There we go. So, you know, again, now this is a little trickier than what we usually do, and this is what you can look for. And even if you're not going to trade it, you can watch it. Okay. I say that for the next day or so, we're probably right near a bottom. Okay. Now, could there be some catastrophe news come out that would change it? Yeah, of course. But based on everything we know today, okay, and I won't make an excuse because of an economic report. It would have to be some kind of crisis that we couldn't ever know. Other than that, I would say most likely you will have I would certainly guarantee a rally in the next couple of days, okay? But I would not be surprised to see it tomorrow. And, you know, I don't think we have a hell of a lot more to go. Now, again, my perfect storm would be that we'd be lower, much lower in the morning, and then we'd buy them. But, you know, again, I can't always get what I want, and I don't see it right now. Okay, and this is into a jobs week, too, so I don't imagine destruction into the week of jobs. So here I'm saying, you know, 1085, 1090, even 1100, somewhere in that neighborhood, you can look at this. Obviously, we're at the bottom end of, if you want to call it what we had, consolidation, which is what it was. We're at the bottom end. I'm looking to be a buyer, again, just for a trade. Okay? And then crude oil, Charlie Lima. So crude, we kept saying, okay, we want to sell it. Everybody goes, oh, no, it doesn't go now. Well, now I got news for you. This chart looks really bad now, okay, because now you have the big highs put in, and now we put in a lower high, okay? Now, the key is what happens here. Do we put in a lower low here? I'm looking only to sell, okay? I was only a buyer when we were way down. Now I'm only a seller. Right now, I'd look at 48, but again, remember, this is a little bit more violent. You may want to try to wait till 50 because you might see it, okay? Remember, when you don't have a board of directors and you don't have earnings to worry about, you don't have the other things, and you don't have quite the same type of volume, you have a tendency to go farther either up or down than you think you're going to go. But I would certainly be a seller at 48. But if you're want to be a little bit more cautious, you can go to 50. Now, but because the market conditions, I think, in my opinion, are starting to change, okay, in other words, we're getting a little bit more action, I'm willing to be a little bit more aggressive, okay? I'm not giving you right now we're like between the yellow and the green light, okay? We're not quite there yet, but we're getting closer. We were on the, you know, yellow-red, now we're yellow-green. So I'm looking to get much more aggressive here, and if the markets will cooperate, and the only problem I see this week is I don't know if we'll get a lot of cooperation because, again, the jobs number is coming up, and that could affect the trade a little bit, okay? Gold. Now, gold, in my opinion, okay, has reached about the highest it's going to go for now. Now, as you know, I like gold. Certainly, this is not that bearish of action. This is actually, you know, still fairly bullish action. I think you need to see more days sideways before I would be interested in being a buyer. But truthfully, I'd be looking to be a seller right now. And again, only for a trade. I'm not giving up the hard asset gold I own, but to trade it, I'm going to trade it a little bit from the short side here because I do believe you're going to see probably, you know, 1250 again. I mean, you've got 1300 on the downside, 1280 and 1250. On the upside, you've got 1330, which is right where we are, you know, 1350, right around there. So, again, those are areas that I'm going to look at. But, again, I think that we tend to, as a society and everything we do, we overdo it. I think this is a little bit overdone. Okay, and it's, again, I'm not trying to pick the top. I'm just making a probability play here.
Okay, so remember, you know, we talk a lot about this on the show and on my calls. We're playing a probability model, okay? It doesn't guarantee that you'll have success. It guarantees you that you should be a mathematical favorite when you make the trade. Nobody knows for sure which way it goes. But if you use logic and mathematical patterns, they repeat themselves. And this is something that we have to understand, okay? Because, again, how did I know the market was going to rally this week? In fact, I think later in the call you'll hear me say that I'll quit trading forever if we don't see a rally. And the reason I can make statements like that because I've seen this movie so many times. There are certain things that are certainty. Now, just because you know doesn't mean that you can capitalize on it because sometimes you think it's going to go one way based on what you saw, but the market's gap against and you can't get in, which is, it happens. But we're not worried. We should never worry about one day or one trade. We should worry about repeating the process and achieving excellence, kind of like the words of wisdom. Okay. Because again, if anybody tells you that they will win and make you money every single trade, they're a liar. That's all. Nothing else to talk about that. You have to understand that you have to take all of the things and put them as much in your favor as you can, including the money management, the discipline, and then, and only then, where you allow yourself to be successful. And it's funny, I'll tell you a story when we come back from the break, because I think it's interesting. But this is The Bubba Show, and this is Bubba, of course. If you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of The Bubba Show every day. It will get you the Sporting Edge on the weekends. Plus, there's a lot of other great content at libertytalk.fm. That's Bubba Station. So make sure you check it out. In the meantime, check out bubbatrading.com as well. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. And I'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we will be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And so, again, this is July 4th weekend. And again, I thank everybody and salute you. And everybody have a great holiday weekend. And, of course, we'll be on here on Monday. But, obviously, a lot of you won't be with me live. So, anyways, you know, I like to tell stories when they happen. And so, I teach futures. I teach everything. But I was teaching a futures course. And somebody emails me yesterday, as a matter of fact, and says, you know, I'm making money like a lot on all my trades, but I want to try this. And he wrote this long email. And at the end, he goes, maybe I should just do what I'm doing and keep making money. That is probably the best idea. I said, you wouldn't, if you were a pilot, you wouldn't change the rules of the cockpit, would you? Well, you're a pilot when it comes to trading. Just keep that in mind. You know, when you try to reinvent the wheel, okay, remember, it comes back down to the same thing as always: probability, repetition, redundancy, and that's how you make money. All right, let's get back to the call. Here we go.
I keep telling you, right? Every week I say, look, we can't sell them. You just got to buy them. There you go. I mean, it's like unbelievable. Now, what the first thing that you have to understand this message is that yields are going down, which means that I'm going to be right because I know the 10-year is getting to 1.25 probably. But this is also a fear trade, okay? Now, did we go a little bit too far? I will tell you this. I lost about $1,000 today trying to trade this, trying to sell it, okay? And I never got a big enough profit, okay? So I got a little piggish, and, of course, you know what happens to pigs, right? So, I mean, again, I want to be short this now. And, again, this only is a trade. I don't know how much more fear they can build in. But again, remember, the markets are emotional anyways, okay? So if you look at it from the standpoint in which I'm looking at it, the fear is, I mean, they're pretty afraid right now. This is all-time highs. So, you know, where are they going to go? Can they go higher? Absolutely. But certainly, again, as I said, buy it here and buy it here. I'm not buying. I ain't buying it here. It could, might go to a million. It'll go without me. In the meantime, I'd look for a spot to sell again. These types of trades are a little bit higher risk, okay? Now, if you use a TLT, you can create, you know, more of a synthetic kind of trade to limit the amount of risk that you have to take. But we're gambling a little bit here. We're picking the top because we can't get in at the bottom and we can't buy it here. So the only possible trade you can make here is to sell, and you might want to just choose to sit on the sidelines. I mean, again, it's not mandatory that you sell here. It's just something that I'm looking at and that I'm going to do. I would only look to be a buyer on a pullback probably to 170, okay, and then 167 below that. Now, the good old friend, the dollar, okay, and I'm getting closer, okay. we're getting closer to my target. I gotta draw my, I don't know, I think it's about week 14 or something, but I keep saying it's going to get up here, and it's going to get there. Okay, I'm a little surprised, actually, that we're getting there this quickly, but look at this move. Now, again, this is a move that you would say, hey, I can't buy this. Now, the difference between this and the other ones we've looked at is here we have a base support at 96. Now, we still can't buy it here. This has to, what we call, resolve itself by consolidating for a little bit, and then we could possibly buy it. We would not be buying the dollar till next week for sure, whereas I could be selling it at 97 tomorrow, and I would, okay? That would be where I'd be looking to sell. I'm not looking to buy anywhere right now. Now I'm only looking for a spot that I could possibly sell it. Notice how I switch. I'm only a buyer, though I'm not only a seller. I mean, these are things that, you know, as you trade, you start to see these wild patterns. It makes sense. Okay, and then, of course, the euro currency has gone straight down. Now, it has broken through the downside. Okay, and, you know, we thought, you know, to sell it at 115, and look at where they got. Almost. Now, I'm not saying you should have sold it. You know, again, it would have taken a lot of cojones to sell it into that announcement, okay? But, you know, it might have been worth it because, again, remember the size of the move up, and remember the market expectation is something that we always look at, okay? But here we'll sit here. I'm going to call this neutral for right now because I certainly don't want to buy it. I want to focus on the dollar right now, and I got to really see how this is going to affect. It doesn't affect the chart, but I don't want to see the action. And again, one of the things I worry about is if we get involved in something, if I'm not used to the volatility, it's harder for me to give you an out point, okay? And there isn't a great ETF to trade here, so we'll sit back and wait. And then, of course, my earlier question was, okay, what was wrong? Well, look at the VIX. The market got clobbered and closed almost on its lows, okay? And the VIX got clobbered. That's not the right formula. Okay, when the market gets clobbered, there's supposed to be some fear, and the market's supposed to be down. The VIX is supposed to be way up. Okay, this is another sign right now. This is why I asked early. This is a sign that the markets are probably looking for a rally now. There is no the fear left momentarily. It doesn't mean that it won't come back overnight. But for now, look at what happened here. Okay, this got cracked. I mean, think about it. This is down about 10 or 11% today, okay? And not that I care about the percentage number, but look at what happened in a day that we actually, there, look at this chart, went nowhere. And look at this chart, okay, went straight down. You would have thought, there was, and if you look at the futures market, look what happened after the Dow closed, okay? And I want to show this. This is pretty good. This is interesting because a lot of you guys don't see this stuff when it happens, but look at this. Let's see, today, 10 minutes. So where's, let's see what time is this? 2:40, 2:50, 3 o'clock. Okay. So this is the close. This is 4 o'clock Eastern. Okay, right here. Look what happened. From 4 to 4:15, the Dow went down 60 more points. Nobody talks about it because they're not talking about it anymore on air. Okay. Now we're coming back, but from 3 o'clock when the market's closed, we broke all the way back to the lows. Okay. We almost made a new low. We got to within 7 ticks of making a new low after when nobody was watching. So to me, no fear, that doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So I go, okay, so it means that there are probably going to be some buyers stepping in here, and that would be logical. Why? Because dip buyers always step in, okay? Because for 8 years, every time it's sold off, it's come back. Now, again, I contend to say that one of these times it won't, but again, I'm not going to chase them down, just like I don't chase them up. And I'm looking to get short. I'm not looking to get long except for a trade. Longer term, I believe we're going lower. In the short term, I'm going to look to buy them for a trade. Okay. So the Brexit deal obviously created a lot of volatility and had me trade for 48 hours straight. But it was, I mean, it was wild trade. It was active. But my question is, is that part of the battle lines being drawn in now? Is this like the first chink in the armor? Okay. I mean, or was it Sanders and Trump? I mean, the amount of excitement that they got for running, and now you got Brexit, and now you're starting to have some other talk. Is this the sign of a global meltdown of maybe, you know, some sort of a revolution type of thing? You know, I don't know. I'm just asking, you know, what you think. I saw the drop in the VIX and the VXX. That's why we're getting warmer. Yeah, you're good. Now you got it. Now I gave you the answer, so you're all good. So, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, again, I firmly believe that there will be another revolution in this country. Not, it doesn't have to be a fighting revolution. I'm just saying that there, you know, people, you make enough poor people, and you get upset. Okay. I think one of the more interesting things is the currency carnage. Okay, I mean, they are destroying currency and ripping it up, and that, to me, that is the problem with the central bank. Okay, they continue to devalue so they can, you know, run their Ponzi scheme. Now, again, it's not that I'm picking on the Fed or the central banks, but the definition of a Ponzi scheme is to borrow new money to satisfy old debt. But the Fed doesn't have to borrow; they just print new money to satisfy old debt. And everything they print, they're taking away out of your pocket. Okay, they're making your dollar worth less. That's the bottom line. That's not me talking. That's not my you know, contrarianism. That's just the bottom line. Okay, now, I think a lot of people and a lot of firms are still banking on the Fed. Now, my problem here is that I think everybody now knows that there's a lot more trouble than anybody's willing to admit. Okay? Now, you know, Yellen was supposed to go to a meeting in the EU. Okay? Why didn't she go? Well, because she was afraid that there might be, it might think, everybody might think that, well, they're afraid, okay, and they're all getting together. Well, you know what? Last I know, they have telephones now, and they have webinars, and they have all kinds, you don't have to go to a meeting there. So if there's a problem, they can actually talk on the phone, okay? And as you know, one of my bitches was that when Yellen called Cameron on February 11th and Draghi and Jamie Dimon about the low, I thought that was a little fishy. So, you know, but are we too dependent?
So, you know, again, this is one of the things that, you know, bothers me. It's the misconceptions and the things that the Fed does. Okay, and just a special note, next Tuesday, the 5th, we're going to have on an ex-Fed official that's going to talk with us for the whole show. So you'll get to hear something from her perspective, and you've seen her on TV, so you'll get to hear what she has to say. But anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You know, if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of The Bubba Show every day. And the sporting ads on the weekend. And if you go to BubbaTrading.com, you can look at some of the great things we're doing, some of the great programs we're offering, because, again, I'm all about you and making it better, because I want to make sure you get the best out of your investing and trading dollars. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Back to the Bubba Show, the holiday edition on the way. Everybody's already at the Hamptons, wherever you go. Everybody have a great 4th of July. And again, I salute my guys, my gals, everybody. Always great to be here with you. And again, we were talking a little bit on Monday night, and I got some more notes to go over. So let's go back to Monday night and hear what we had to say. Here we go.
And has the economy become too dependent on the Fed action? And of course, the worldwide debt continues to grow. Okay. Now, you know, everybody continues to say, and I don't know why it's like a sore subject to everybody, this is not 2008. Well, I beg to differ. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to collapse. And again, I'm not predicting the end of the world. However, just purely based on numbers, if you believe that we collapse only because of the housing crisis and the debt, Well, the debt with just the auto loans is twice as much today than it was during the housing crisis in 2008. But my bigger concern is, why does everybody say, well, this is not 2000? I don't care what it is. It's 2016. In the meantime, we've got a debt problem. In the meantime, we're so over in hack that we have to continue to print dollars to try to keep it under control. So overall, again, this has nothing to do with whether the market's going up or down tomorrow. I'm just saying that these are issues that eventually have to be thought about. And, of course, now Merkel from Germany, you know, the Iron Maiden, she lost control. You know, she used to be it. She was the most powerful woman in the world, okay, or the most interesting woman in the world. Now, she was the most powerful woman in the world, and obviously she was supplanted by Janet Yellen, who is the most powerful woman in the world, or actually Janet Yellen's the most powerful person in the world. But at the end of the day, you know, Germany, you know, the whole European Union is falling apart, okay, and there's issues there. So she's out trying to do damage control, okay? Now, somebody wrote over the weekend, the biotechs are crumbling on Brexit. I go, what? And of course, you know what I said, right? I can't say because I try not to get beat on my own call, but you can imagine what I said. I mean, who are we kidding? Right? The market goes up and down. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, now it's going down because of Brexit. Biotech is going down. Okay. Now, there's a big talk now about how beneficial all this rate stuff and problems are going to be for real estate. And I go, well, wait a second. You're still not going to have a benefit in real estate if you can't borrow money. Okay? If you can't borrow money, then there's no problem in real estate. So where are we going to get the money from? That's what I want to know. Okay? If it's going to be better, you have to be able to borrow money. And since we can't borrow any money, I say that real estate is nothing more than another hard asset, which is fine, that are being bought up by a lot of the funds because they can buy it because they'll pay for them. Okay. So it's a hard asset. Okay. But you know, it doesn't benefit the average guy in the street. It doesn't help the first time home buyer. And I truly believe, unfortunately, that negative rates are coming. Okay. I believe we have a major mess in our economy. I got a lot of notes up here. The Brexit vote was a very emotional vote. Many people pissed off. Maybe an irrational vote. Could be. Again, I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought they would pull. That was my vote. That's how I played it, that they were going to pull. Okay. I was not surprised at all, and I'm on record. Brexit getting more blame than climate control, right? Okay. Hope not. EMP attack Russia, U.S. on January 4th due to Syria. Again, you know, we got problems. That is a problem again, and that's, you know, the Orlando thing and all of these things, you know, are happening for not good reasons. Okay. Not yet. Not enough Americans are scared. We are seeing a counter-revolution to progress. Patriot citizens are voicing their opinion at the ballot box. The question is, are there more entitled voters? I know that's another issue, right? Who's more entitled? But again, there's still the bigger middle class, so they can still do their thing if they do. Worse than 2008. What would happen if the U.S. government cuts budget and the Fed keeps rates low? Well, if they would cut the budget, we'd be fine. I mean, we wouldn't be fine, but I know many of you probably all know this, but you know, the government budgets work on, they get X amount of dollars, and if they don't spend it all, they get their budget cut next year, so you know they spend every dime, and they keep growing their budget. At the end of the day, it doesn't work out right, and if any of us did that ourselves, we'd be in jail. Okay. Germany will not subsidize the rest of Europe, not anymore. They're done. If Merkel had opened immigration floods for 800,000 people, once they get into Germany, they are free to move other EU countries, and that is a big impact on Brexit. I'm sure it does, and I agree with you. Owner financing is the way to have the homes. Yeah, and that's where a lot of the financing is coming from, okay, is the peer-to-peer lending now, which is at usury rates, unfortunately. Negative rates, what would that do to mortgage rates? Well, you wouldn't have to worry about it getting a mortgage rate because you wouldn't be able to get any money. But it would keep mortgage rates lower. I mean, mortgage rates are going to keep coming down. The problem is you can't get the money. All right. Anyways, I think the trap here is being set by the media and the advisors. Okay, again, you know me. I always tell like I think it. I think the media is too much of a damn cheerleader. I think that, you know, they don't tell it like it really is. And I think the advisors don't have a clue. Okay, and I think that will lead to the eventual doom. Because, again, if you're taking brand new money in here to invest in, you know, at the absolute top right now of a market that's got this much weakness underlying it, then I think you're making a mistake. It doesn't mean you won't make money. It doesn't mean the market's not going to go higher. But I think there's better entries, even if it's higher than here, but a better pattern and a better reason. Okay. Will London remain the financial powerhouse? I don't see why not. I mean, you know, everybody forgets. The British pound never got destroyed, right? The British pound has been in operation all 20 years European Union. I mean, they're the only one, the Deutschmark and the others, they're still available, but they were not traded anymore. The British pound is traded fluently the entire time. So I don't think it means anything. Two things left. The real problem, I think, is that we've got a system that's scooped up. I mean, think about this. Whether you like Hillary or you like Donald, it doesn't matter. Okay. But either one, I mean, Hillary Clinton, every day they're talking about her going to jail. And I know that's more of the right talking about that. But did she break the law or didn't she break the law? And is she going to get pardoned or not? And how does she have the nerve to come out and do those things? And on the other side of the coin, pump. He's all pompous. Trump's a little pompous. Okay. I get it all. But think about it. That's the best this country could do is bring those two to the top. I think there's a little problem. Okay. And the Brexit will affect the pound, the euro banks, the bonds, okay, and the general markets. And the last thing is margin calls. Now, you know, I haven't seen the usual, you know, margin calls used to be after 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock Eastern time, and they would start coming in. But, you know, it's a little bit different now with electronic trading. But you knew that, you know, the markets that they were going down, they were going to really get clobbered later because the margin calls came out. I don't know. I don't really know how that's changed. So I don't have an answer for you, but it's interesting. Okay. It's something that you take a look at and know that if the markets are really weak, most people are going to have some sort of a margin call.
And that is also part of the market footprint, is recognizing when margin calls come in. But you can understand where we're coming from and, you know, why I think there's weakness. But again, I'm not going to twist and make the market, you know, I'm not going to tell the market it's wrong, because we know and we've learned that the market is always right. So we can't tell the market it's wrong. What we have to do is we have to adapt to the market strategy. So as we come to a close, again, I want to wish everybody a great holiday weekend. Enjoy the fireworks. Enjoy the family. Enjoy your friends. My military personnel and my service personnel, I thank you for allowing me the airwaves to be able to bitch and do whatever I want here. I thank you and I salute you. And make sure you can go to my station and get the show if you have missed it at Liberty Talk. At Liberty, I got like that. LibertyTalk.fm. Go check it out. Check out BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for sharing time with me. I appreciate you. We'll see you back here on Monday, even though it's holiday. We will be back Monday. This is the Bubba Show, Top of the World. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Event.